Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I'm Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
We're here to talk about 2023.
Yes.
The almost assumed greatest year in video games. I feel like that's just become like a, like, everybody's like, no, it was. Don't question it, it was.
I'm about 12 hours into Baldur's Gate 3. I think that is true.
So this is our Game of the Year episode. We're going to kind of just talk through our favorite things from the year in what was an insane year for games. With that being said, I think two things are important to note here. Number one, there were so many good games this year that I feel like I skipped like five games that could potentially be in my top five.
Just sure. Because of time. Yeah. Yeah.
Just because of time. Like, I played 20 minutes of a game trial of Baldur's Gate and went, this is cool. I don't have the time for it. Like, I haven't touched Mortal Kombat. I haven't played Mario Wonder. I didn't play Alan Wake 2. Like, I've got a list of top five games that I didn't play. So I think that there are so many great games this year that these are obviously the ones that we got to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. I'm really curious what your top five are, because I was like, I might just play some of those and you'll play some of mine.
That's basically what I think it's going to end up being, is our Januaries are just going to be, hey, Doug said that was top five and I never got around to it. Well, there we go.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think with it being such a good year, I think like, my top, like, normally we do top three games, but we decided we needed to do top five just because there are so many good games this year. Yeah. But I think cutting it to three was been like, no, like, that game, like, deserve, like, number four game is normally like, eh, 3-4, like, eh, yeah, okay, they're fine. But, like, my four and five games are games that I absolutely loved.
Yes.
Still. Yeah. And my top one, two, and three are games that are like, those are some of the best ever. Those are some good stuff there at the top.
No, exactly. I had the exact same list. It was like love, really like is my top five, which is not usually the case. It's usually like number three is like the game I really, really like this year. Number two, it's I really, really, number one, I love this game. It's like,
yes,
it's just love throughout. Three through eight
are all basically the same. Like, they're just, I enjoyed those. Two was really, really good and one like, but yeah, they're all great this year. So we're getting through some categories. We're going to talk about our best just general thing video game related this year. Best setting, best game that we didn't like, which I always think is kind of fun. Best game we just never got a chance to finish, which I think is a very, very relevant topic this year. And then if you follow our channel, we play a lot of games that aren't from this year. So just our favorite game that we played this year that we'd never played before that wasn't released in the year 2023. So that being said, Doug, your favorite thing, best thing from video games in 2023?
The best thing from video games this year was the best level up screen to Mario RPG. Because that is the best. That is genuinely, I think my favorite part of Mario RPG was leveling up. It's such a simple screen. You make no decisions. you get like little levels up.
Don't you get to pick like one little bonus?
You get
to pick.
Oh, that is true. You get to pick if your health or mana goes up. But it was just like, it was so funny because all of your whole cast is there on a little stage doing the best looping dance animation I think I've ever seen. Like, it made me smile like every freaking time. And it's never, and like, I never clicked through it. I was like, looked at their little animation. Literally, I was like, as I'm going down the list. And then it was even better if like multiple people leveled up at the same time, because then the spotlight would drop on different like ones. I just haven't had like an emotional reaction to any level up screen. It's funny playing like Final Fantasy 16 where it's just like stats.
It literally is just blank screen numbers. Done.
Yeah. Exactly. But then having like so much character in the level up screen, just like literally have not seen anything like it. It's just such a fun little thing. That game put a smile on my face all of the time.
I was gonna say
that was the time I was the happiest.
that game is constant smiles, constant happiness the whole way through, and is one of the best games ever. We'll leave it there for there. My best thing's a little different. My best thing of 2023 is this is the best year of DLCs in the history of the world. So just for fun, I went back and looked. My top three games from last year, each one of those three had an incredible DLC come out this year. My game of the year for 2021 had a DLC come out this year that was really good.
Oh, funny.
Two,
that's a really good point.
Of my top five games this year have already had or are DLC related this year. So
that's a funny way to put it. Yeah,
it's insane to me that like all of these games that are great, and most of them were large, most of them were expansive, most of them change, like put new spins on different things in the world. Just to run through them: Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Horizon Forbidden West, Resident Evil 7, shit. Final Fantasy 16, God of War Valhalla, Tales of Arise. All big meaty DLCs that I just, each one of them was incredible. Each one of them was great. Like, I had a separate running list of this year of just my favorite DLCs as we went through the year. Theater Rhythm got DLCs all year long that I kept buying. Like, come on.
That's really funny. It does feel like DLC has finally been like really figured out. Like, we had like expansion packs for a long time. Yep. And then we had this weird nobody knew what DLC was moments, and now it's just like no, I think we've got it. I think it's like, it feels really good. Yeah.
Well, and there was the weird, like, everybody just wants costume packs and microtransactions. Yeah. Like, we've kind of passed that. And it's like, okay, if we drop God of War, we drop one big thing. We do Xenoblade, yeah, we do one big thing. And it's like that, yeah, it's, they're great. Again, like, every game of the year last year on my list, best game from the year before, like, it's, they were just constant. Every month I was like, I guess I'm going back to that game. There's 800 new games for me to play, but I'm going back to Horizon, I'm going back to Xenoblade.
Yeah, it was a good reminder, like, oh, these games were good.
Yes, actually, I did that with Resident Evil 4, where I played it, because I played Separate Ways recently. I was just like, oh yeah, that game was really, really good. I like Resident Evil 4. That is a remake of one of the best games ever. Interesting.
Yeah. That's a fun one. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
Best setting, so world, just kind of the area you're in the games, what's going on there. So your best setting this year.
I really thought about this one, and this just eked out Alan Wake 2. I think Alan Wake 2's setting is really cool, but it's so mercurial in weird ways that doesn't really feel solid. It kind of feels like they're still sort of figuring out what Alan Wake 2's setting is. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Season, A Letter to the Future, has probably one of my favorite settings in games, just period. It's really funny. I think in the review, I mentioned Scorn, which I thought was like another really, really well-developed setting. Mm-hmm. I think about Season all of the time. I like, it's really funny because like when I was making my Game of the Year list, there's like a lot of games like, I really like this, and then I never thought about it again.
Yeah.
Mostly any Resident Evil game. but Season, like, I think about that game like quite a bit. I want to go back and revisit it. Just because it felt so relevant. It felt, I don't know. I felt like I really related that game in like some weird way. And I'm not quite sure how. And I really love the ending of that game and how it ties into the rest of the world and all that thing. But yeah, that setting is just, it's fun to think about. It's fun to explore. It's really, really well thought out in ways that games aren't generally thought out.
It's weird to me how much you've come back to that game this year. I feel like that was like such a weird throwaway game. I didn't get a chance to play it, but for so many people, it's just this weird, like, oh yeah, I think it was on Game Pass or something, or it was free somewhere or something like that. And it was just like, oh yeah, it came out.
Yeah. Cool.
Great. Moving on.
It is funny because I've listened to people review that game. It either like, A, is like, ah, it was all right. And like other people, like kind of like me, it's like, this is an incredible experience, but it really requires you to buy into that world. Mm-hmm. So it's not the most accessible world, and maybe that's kind of the issue. But if you buy in that world, if you really, I don't know, kind of respect that world and play into it, you're gonna have like one of the best gaming experiences I think ever. Love that game. No,
there we go. So just because you like taking shots at things that I like, my best setting was Resident Evil 4.
That's really fun.
I kind of felt cheating doing this just because that is one of like pre-remake. That was one of my favorite games ever. But I just think that the polish and just the extra detail that they added into the village and just the castle and just the surrounding areas, like everything had that great feeling of dinginess to it. You kind of always had this like eerie feeling. You never felt settled. It was a really good update to what is one of the best games ever. And I just think that setting, just going through it, just feeling it, seeing it in more detail, the little bits and pieces that were added here, just I think really give you this really sense of dread every time you go into a new place, like what's going to be in here. And it really I think encapsulates really putting me in a video game world and going like, okay, like I have to think before I open a door, what's going to be in here. Like I'm kind of creeped out when I go around this corner, and I don't get that too much, but Resident Evil 4 did a really good job of kind of putting me in that mind space.
I think Resident Evil 4 setting is like really kind of cool from the rest of Resident Evil games. Cause the rest of Resident Evil games, it's like an infection has broken on this area and it's like very foreign to this area. But Resident Evil 4, I think probably more than maybe the other ones, it feels so ingrained that whatever the infection's going on, like in the history of that place, that it doesn't, it feels like, I don't know, that whole society is kind of built around that infection, which I liked. And it's kind of unique. I think 8 kind of tagged on that a little bit, but not as strongly as 4.
It didn't quite get there. I think it kind of got, it was the very clearly like, you're trying to do it, but you're not quite there.
Yeah.
And I think playing Resident Evil 4 again, just after finishing 8 last year, you're like, this is head and shoulders above 8. Like, this is what 8 wanted to be, and it's just not there. So,
sure.
Yeah. Feels like cheating, but Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
It's a new game. A little contentious category here. Best game that you didn't like. So a game that you're like, this is a really great game.
Yeah.
It is well made. Everything about it is great. But, ooh, I do not like this thing for whatever reason.
Yeah, my first thought was Jedi Survivor. But then I don't think that's a good game. So.
I mean, it's not a great game. It's not a best game. It is a good game.
I don't even. So the best game we didn't like was a tie between Cocoon.
No, okay.
But the two, I think, was Cocoon is the what? Cocoon is the real answer. But I had Cocoon and Remnant 2 written down. I played. Well, no, it's Remnant 2. Cocoon I just kind of felt bored with. I didn't feel like the puzzles were that clever. It was like a lot of neat mechanics, but the puzzles were too easy. I just kind of like was flying through that game, not really feeling too much. And I was like, I just kind of got bored and turned off. Remnant 2, I think I actively dislike in certain ways, mm-hmm. which has gotten me a lot of heat on my review.
The forums. Go read the pissed off people at Doug for disliking Remnant 2 for all of the wrong reasons, apparently.
But I can at least see the good game that is Remnant 2. Like, I can see it. I can see why people like it. There's just so many changes to it that, like, I felt negatively impacted the way that I like that game. But I can at least see that Remnant 2 is a good game, and it's one I just actively disliked this year.
There you go. I think Remnant was, like, one of your games of the year to best game you didn't like. So that's quite a fall from grace there.
I was so excited when that trailer. I was so excited when that trailer dropped. But, yeah. Is how it is.
I feel like every year my one of these is like the game that every person loves. So The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
That game. I totally forgot you played that. That's really funny.
I played 10 or 15 hours of it, and it's just, I don't know. It just, nothing grabbed me. It was one of those. Well, no, I take that back. The first maybe half hour to an hour of that game, I loved. It was incredible. Yeah. And then I got into the big open world, and it's just, I'm not an open world person. Those aren't the type of games I like. I'm not a huge puzzle person. I'm not even a big Zelda person. It was one of those things that I picked it up because I was like, I made it through Breath of the Wild, and I liked that. But it just, I don't know. I think it was just every time I got to a new shrine puzzle thing, it was just like, I don't want, like, I can do the, like, oh, if I hit the switch, the lever drops. I climb up there. I drop the, I can do that. But it's like, I don't know. You gave me like 6 pieces. I have to build the thing to get to the thing to do the normal Zelda. It was just, I wasn't feeling it. I did lots of wandering around. It was just, as I kept wandering around, it's like, I had that feeling like for the last 5 hours I played it of just like, am I enjoying this, or am I just doing this because everybody says it's good? And I feel like it was one of those things that, like, loved the first hour. The next like 5 to 10, I was like, okay, maybe. And then those last like just few hours, it was just like, I'm just playing this to say I played it. Like, I'm just playing this because everybody else said it's great, and I'm waiting for it to get great, and it's just, I'm not enjoying it. So it's great. The mechanics are awesome. The ideas behind it are so cool. It's just not my deal, not my thing.
That almost makes me more interested. The fact that a lot of people didn't like it, it was like, all right. No, they did like it. It was like, all right. But like the fact you really didn't like it, I was like, I should at least give that a try. Not $70 a try, but maybe that QVC $20 off deal try.
you'll find it for $45, maybe, if you're lucky, in 6 years.
Exactly. That's so funny.
Yeah. Zelda, not my thing. Best game that you didn't finish, so just whatever reason didn't make it through it.
Yeah. Okay. 2 quick shout outs and then my actual answer.
I feel like I normally do this where I normally have like a list of like, I couldn't decide, so these 6 things.
Well, the thing was, is like, I actually had the list. I actually had the list like pretty solid. And then the original one was going to be Inscription, which
that
was
didn't
like
come out this year, so that's kind of cheating.
Oh, Bookwalker Thief of Tales, then. That was the one. I really liked that game. I think it's awesome. I was playing the PC version. It's great. My Game Pass subscription ran out, so which is not a good excuse. But I was really loving that game. I probably will do a good review of it at some point. That was my shout out. And then recently I got really into Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
That is just clearly one of the best games ever made. It's like, it's so hard to ignore. That it's just like an amazing, amazing game. Hopefully we'll review it. Probably won't finish it. Hopefully we'll at least talk about it, I guess the best way to put it.
Review coming summer 2025.
Yeah, exactly. But that game, I every time I turn it on, there's some new cool discovery with it. It's really incredible. It's really complicated. I actually got about 6 hours into it and restarted, and I was like, this is gonna be the make or break moment. Like, I'm either gonna enjoy this game and keep playing it, or like, I'm just never gonna touch it again. I replayed those like 6 hours now that I kind of understood how the mechanics work. Had like a totally different experience than my first 6 hours, and I played like a very similar character. I just the rolls that dice had gone the other way. It's just a really, really cool, it feels like what Mass Effect is trying to do. It feels like a lot of games are trying to do. It's like, oh no, this one's just actually doing it.
So intimidating.
It so is, and that's what I'm saying. Like it
the,
took me,
the fact that you played like 10 hours and then 6 hours and nothing was the same, and nothing beyond intimidating. I don't have time for that. That stresses me out just even thinking about that.
Well, I think it's like with if you think about like other games, it's usually like there's like a side mission, and like I'm either checking that side mission off or not checking that side mission off. But in this one, it's just like that you doing it or not doing it will kind of just influence the rest of the game. But like, there is no main missions, there's no side missions, they're all just kind of missions that you're doing, and they interact in different weird ways. So maybe that's the way to think about it, as opposed to like, I have to do all these side missions. Like, no, you don't. Your campaign will just be changed slightly
by having done that.
It's an insanely cool game, and we'll talk about it later, hopefully. Yeah. That's my answer.
Minus Sea of Stars, which just incredible, incredible game. I think I put maybe 10 hours into it. It was just one of those, I moved this year, like things got moved around, and then it was one of those where it's like I took like 3 weeks off, tried to jump back, and I was like, oof.
Sure.
I don't remember. I don't know. What was I? How does kind of, and it was just one of those things where I was just like, I was so far invested that like, I don't have the time to go back and redo all of that. I'm too far in to like try and remember it, and just kind of got to those points where it's like, well, guess I'm not playing the rest of this.
do you actually play a lot of as Super Nintendo RPGs, or like, you, because you're more PS1-y is when I think of like your JRPGs nostalgia.
For the most part, I jumped in like just age wise, and actually I think I played a couple of them like Super Nintendo as a kid, but like PlayStation 1 era is where like I really started, and then like Final Fantasy 10 is where I'm like, that is my like, oh my god, this genre is the best genre that exists.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little nostalgia for something I'm not quite as nostalgic about. So that pull wasn't quite there for me just in terms of what I played before. But the game's incredible. It's fun. It's just one of those where it's just the timing kind of just blew up in my face. I was like, I don't have the time to invest in this. I already invested and it didn't work out. But great
game. Are you going to go back to it or no?
I don't know. I keep thinking about it. But it's one of those where it's like, at this point, I played it 6 months ago. So it's like 10 hours into a game 6 months ago. I don't like doing that, because it's like, I forgot half that stuff. Yeah. And then I don't want to replay it, because I already played those 10 hours. So it's just, it's in a weird spot for me, but it's great. I loved it. It would probably be in my top five had I finished it, but that's what this category is for. So older game. And again, the rule with this is it's a game you've never played before that didn't come out this year is the rule. So your best game that was not a 2023 game that you played this year.
Hitman 3 was really, really, really cool.
You never played Hitman 3?
Huh?
And you played Hitman 3? I didn't know any of this.
Well, that was Hitman World of the Assassination. That was like the only time I actually got to play through
Hitman 3.
What other Hitman 3
I went back to, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a PS2 Hitman 3. I know there was a Hitman
2. No, not like Blood Money?
Like Blood Money.
I really like Blood Money, man.
That's why I was like, I thought 2 was like the peak, and then we were downward until the new... Okay, now we're on the same page. Got it.
No. It was Hitman 3, the most recent one. I think it came... I actually checked it, because I wasn't sure when it came. It came out like 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, it was old.
But
yeah,
man, I love that game. You can go to like watch that review. That was like... That was a, no, I don't like this game. I really, really love it. It fixed. I really love the first one. There's a lot of things I felt like the second game people really like that it's like super open and you can kind of go where you want. And then 3 kind of tightened it up in like an interesting way, where it still felt like I had a lot of good options, and it was just absolutely incredible game. It was not on my radar because I didn't like 2 so much, and then like getting to play 3 and like actually just like, oh no, this is why I like the original Hitman 2014 one, I think. Why I like that one so much is like, this is just a good reminder of like, oh no, this is like just a really cool, I think the thing that stuck with me the most was actually the setting. The setting of that game is really, really cool. It's really, really slick. It feels like playing Michael Mann movies. And it's not just like, and it just doesn't feel like a normal, I don't know, video game setting. They all have like these sort of like unique ideas and unique twists that are just really, really cool. And it's just a really, really slick game. That really respects the player. And now I'm super excited for 007 game, and I don't even like James Bond. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Blood Money though?
I played the opening level and I was like, this kind of sucks. I'm sure this is good for its time.
never bothered, so I don't know. But going a little bit further back than 2 years ago, my favorite game was Final Fantasy IV.
Interesting. Sure.
I jumped into that because the Pixel Remasters came out. Mm-hmm. I'd never played anything Final Fantasy before 6 was my earliest one, and 6 I just played for the first time last year. So it was kind of my first experience with like early year Final Fantasy. It's the first Super Nintendo one. And it kind of blew me away just like how much of the core Final Fantasy was still there. And like, I don't remember the year, early 1990s, 30 mm-hmm. years ago, that core Final Fantasy is still built there. You still had all the things that you look for in a Final Fantasy game. It still felt tight. And again, I don't know how much, you know, tweaks and stuff were made to the Pixel Remasters in terms of gameplay and those types of things, but it's fun. It had a great story. It moves quick. The characters are great. It did a lot of fun party management things that I think a lot of modern JRPGs are slowly kind of getting back to, where it's like, you don't, Final Fantasy VII Remake did it, where it's like, you don't have to have your whole party the whole time. You can send people away and bring them back. And it did some cool things with like when characters would leave and then they come back and something changed about them. It's like, oh, they've been gone for 10 hours. Like something happened to them. And just, there were a lot of really cool things where there's one character in particular where he leaves and then comes back like in his ultimate form. Like, oh, last time I saw you, you were just like a mage. Now you're like the mage that is the greatest mage in the history of the world. And it just happened overnight. Like, well, you were gone somewhere apparently. So just really cool game. And I think it kind of cemented for me that like, even early Final Fantasy that I don't have that Final Fantasy 7, 9, 10 nostalgia for, like, that is still good stuff. I really like it. So easily one of my probably top 5 or 6 Final Fantasy games is really good. So going back a ways to that Super Nintendo that I don't have nostalgia for, as mentioned before. We're just gonna go in on the Super Nintendo today, I guess.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I remember
one more time about that. We'll go in on the Super Nintendo one more time. Spoilers ahead.
Yeah, no, it was cool. I remember you were talking about that one because it is interesting that like when you go back to early Final Fantasies, you see where you thought Final Fantasy 7 or 8 was the thing that did that cool thing. It's like, oh no, actually they are referencing the game for the 90s. You just never got around to playing it.
Exactly.
I've noticed a lot with like Final Fantasy 7 Remake stuff as I learned more about the previous games. I was like, oh, actually no, this is all pretty standard Final Fantasy stuff, but it's not like, well, this really cool crazy idea.
We broke the series with this game and did something super unique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so to get to the main course here, our top 5 of 2023, I'm gonna sneak this in really quick. Like a Dragon, Man Who Erased His Name should be in here for the bottom for the last 5 hours. That game lasts 5 hours. Some of the best Yakuza. Resident Evil 4 didn't make it. Like I said, incredible remake. It got the remake bump. Like if it wasn't like, it was like, but I knew that was the best game ever. And finally, Theater Rhythm consumed way more time of 2023 than it should have and is an amazing, incredible game that everybody should play. Okay. With that said, Doug, your number 5 game.
Well, I'd like to give a quick shout out to the games that didn't make it as well. Final Fantasy 16 was pretty good, but it did not make my top 5.
That's bullshit. Okay.
I know. It's funny. It is true, though. Actually, it's funny that DLC really cemented in my mind. It's like, oh, yeah, I really didn't like large portions of this game.
It did the exact opposite for me. Okay.
But the dungeons were super cool. Yeah. Anyway, but that was the one that was kind of like sitting there like, there was definitely a portion of that game I enjoyed. We'll talk about it probably later. But my number 5 game of the year was Mario RPG. I Yay! Really like that game.
I'm so shocked because I was like, I think, because I got a day one and I was just kept texting, like, I forgot how good this is. This is the greatest game of all time. I love this game. Yeah. It's so good. And I was like, I don't know if Doug would like that game, but I just, it's so good.
Actually, it was those texts that got me kind of like, it's very funny because when you see that game with having no nostalgia for it, it just looks weird. It's just a weird looking game. And then you kept saying, oh, this game is not only weird looking, it's really good. I was like, all right. I couldn't see what like made this game amazing, which kind of made it intriguing to me. I was like, looking at this thing, it kind of looks like a weird perspective that's not great, to be totally honest. Like, you don't see many games in isometric anymore, especially that type of isometric. But no, it's just it's like, it's a delight. The game is a delight.
It's joyful at all times.
It's joyful. I was smiling like most of the time I was playing. It's actually really funny. The two games I was smiling the most playing was Alan Wake 2 and Mario RPG. Just had like a dumb
very
grin
similar.
On. Yeah, and it was fun, and I thought the gags were funny. I thought it was really unique. And I think we talked about this in actually one of my favorite games of the years not for 2023. I was thinking about doing Super Mario Land 2 for a second. That's my Mario. My Mario is Super Mario Land 1 and 2 Mario and Wario Land. So like weird Mario is like the stuff I always like get like attracted to. And this is just like that. It is just weirdest Mario, and I just really, really loved it, even though the genre is not really where it's funny. I didn't bring it up in the review, but everybody's like, yeah, it's like super easy. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, I died like a number of times. I did not find that game easy. I am really bad at JRPGs for whatever reason, and it makes me feel stupid. But that one was like, it was manageable. and I really did enjoy it.
That's what counts.
Yeah, exactly. It was a cool game. It's a cool game. That one I really, really liked. Everything past this point I loved, but that was like my I really, really like this game kind of border. Yeah.
I like that you had to end that on a bad note. I really like it.
It's less about that I didn't like that game. It's just like the next four games, like some of my favorite games ever. So that's just like, really like this game, favorite games ever.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of fair because my class is kind of the same way. Spider-Man 2.
Oh, interesting. I'm actually shocked about that one.
Oh, which I think is a game that gameplay wise and just movement and everything like that is borderline flawless. Sure. And we talked about it a lot in our review. It's just, it's so safe in what it does. Yeah. And it's just, it's so much fun to play. But when you start getting into it, it's like, yeah, there's some cool story moments. There's some cool things that happen, but it's just safe. We didn't take any big swings. We didn't take any big risks. It's just kind of a Spider-Man story. And I think that held it back for me a little bit, but I absolutely love flying around as Spider-Man. The wingsuit, greatest thing they added to that game. It just changes up how you move so well. It completely eliminates the need for their incredible fast travel system. You make this great fast travel system, and I'd rather just fly around in the wingsuit because it's almost as fast and it's more fun. So it's a great game. I think Peter, Harry, and MJ are just handled really, really well. Even Miles, I think, kind of steps up in that game in a really cool way. And even the black suit Spider-Man stuff that you know is coming, I think, is handled in a way that's not completely derivative and just completely something we've seen before. So, incredible game. I just wish there were a little bit more risks taken in it.
Yeah. I don't really have much else to say that I haven't said in the review. And basically what you just said pretty much covers it. That's a really cool game. That swinging feels amazing.
It does indeed.
It is crazy. Yeah.
Your number four game.
My number four game is Hi-Fi Rush.
Ooh, good choice.
Yeah, this is like one of the few games, and we'll talk about, there's another game on this list that I did this as well. I don't replay games. I 100%ed Hi-Fi Rush, like in the same week that like I played it, and then I 100%ed like immediately after. That game is so joyful, and I think you kind of mentioned it with Mario RPG, in ways I just don't see games being at all.
Yeah.
It really kind of spoke to me in a weird way. Cause like when you're playing action games, I was the guy who was kind of like, oh, if I kind of hit in the beat to the music, you can hear the sword swings and the beat of the music. So it's just like perfectly aligned with that. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of my favorite things from like early PS2 era that I like, cause that is where my nostalgia lies. And it feels like indie devs haven't really caught up to that era for some reason. It's like Super Nintendo for some reason, and now we're kind of doing PS1 a little bit.
Yep.
But it was cool because this just felt like a really, really, really cool. It's like it's felt like it was plucked from a multi-universe sort of thing, where it's like, what if PS2 games, you know, went forward another 20 years or whatever.
What if Halo and Call of Duty didn't take over the world?
Yeah, exactly. What if instead Devil May Cry did? Yeah, and it's just really cool. I love the finale of that game. The last like two or three missions of that game are just absolutely incredible. It has the highs for me. I think I remember the thing I was being really impressed with was I felt the highs of Kingdom Hearts games, and like Kingdom Hearts, I feel like Kingdom Hearts 3 is a cool game, but it really relies on you having known those characters for like five games.
Forever.
Yeah, forever. And I felt that way about these characters, and it had only been like 7 hours or something like that. It's just a really, really cool game that feels like it was made with a lot of love. And I think I always like that about games. Like, you can really feel the personality coming out of it. And now as I'm talking about it, I was like, this should maybe go higher on my list. But I like it a lot.
Yeah. That was behind Sea of Stars for my best game I didn't finish. Yeah. I had the combination Game Pass running out / I have no rhythm issue with that game, where it's just like the beats were pissing me off that I couldn't Devil May Cry it. But game's incredible. It was great. I played maybe 4 hours of it. Really good game.
Yeah, that's cool.
My number four is a game I actually just finished a second ago, which is Street Fighter VI.
Oh, funny. Interesting. Because as of recording, we have not done the review for it, so I actually have no idea how you feel about it.
Street Fighter VI. Yeah. That's potentially happening when we finish this, depending on how long this takes.
Yeah.
But Street Fighter VI is, like, it's flawless isn't the right word, but it is one of the best fighting systems I've ever played.
Oh, interesting.
It is just you feel everything. Everything feels really natural. There is so much to do in it. It is probably one of the best fighting games I've ever played.
Okay.
In terms of raw mechanics, in terms of everything that's there. I will say that I played probably 30 hours of it.
Holy shit.
And 50% of those hours were in a really shitty mode that's not very great. But I kept going just because I loved the fighting, playing, and the progression that you saw, and how the fights got progressively harder in that mode, even though the mode itself is not great. But because just that gameplay is there, it's just like, oh, this is just, I'm having fun. And again, just every single thing is there that you want from a fighting game in terms of your arcade ladders, your story mode. It has Smash-esque modes in it that are really, really cool and super fun to just screw around with for a half hour or an hour. So it's easily up there as one of my favorite fighting games I've ever played. It is masterfully done. I suck at it so bad that I think I only played 10 matches online. I think I won 2 maybe, but they do some cool things with control schemes and simplifying things that make Street Fighter is kind of known for different characters. You kind of have the back forward things. You've got your quarter circles. You have all those different things. If you're bad with one type of character, they've modernized some controls to make it so those characters are now playable in a different way. It's insane how good this game is and just how much they improved everything on Street Fighter V for this.
It is funny. You are the most hardcore casual fighting game fan.
When my arcade ladders.
Yeah, it's funny because Mortal Kombat will sell like a bazillion copies, and the only people you ever hear like talking about it are like the top tier Mortal Kombat players. Like, there's a whole like 80% or 90% of the people playing this game who just like buy this every year and just like really like playing the story mode and doing that stuff. Yeah. That's cool.
I love the story mode. I want to be able to just screw around for 4 hours in weird fight. Yeah, it's great. Love it. But I didn't play Mortal Kombat 1. That's one of my like top ones on my list of like, I wish I would have gotten to that. But
yeah, that would have been a funny top. I'd be curious. Next time you bring that up, I was like, which one did you like more? Was it Street Fighter 6 or Mortal Kombat?
I'll get to it eventually, so we'll figure out. But Street Fighter 6 as of recording.
Yeah,
it's funny. One of my favorite fighting games, especially of the more recent set of them. So it's great.
Cool.
Number three.
Number three, I already talked about this a little bit. Season: A Letter to the Future. Yep. It's stupid good. Go play that game. Try and think if I've anything I haven't said already that's not covered in the review. Because I do listen to that review every once in a while. Because like, did I like this game that much? Like, yeah, I did. It's cool. I think it does stuff. It's actually funny. I was replaying Journey recently, and it like really reminded me. It's like, yeah, Season was kind of groundbreaking the way Journey is groundbreaking, but people aren't talking about it for some reason. But yeah, if you want to see like cool, weird step in video games that people haven't really done before, go check that game out.
I think that's one of the most surprising reviews we did this year, because it was one of those where I just went out and I'm like, oh, this is like indie game that got sevens across the board. And you're like, no. This is the indie game that got sevens across the board. That is one of my favorite games ever. That made me think in ways that I didn't know I was going to think through. So that's been on my list of just things to check out because of like how shocked I was at how hot you were on the game.
I like that review a lot because you're like, oh, this would be great as a teaching tool. Like, yeah, like I just something I hadn't thought of. It's like, we don't really talk about like our professions. I know like workforce gaming, an engineer and a educator, but it's like, cool. It's like, oh, actually no, that like really would apply to it. I just thought that was an interesting perspective. Cause I think you brought a really interesting perspective to that of like, you know, that, cause I don't know a lot about that stuff, about this sort of like, it's not edited history. But like whatever, it's the history front told from
revisionist history.
Revisionist history, thank you. It's just about that. It's just something I had not experienced. I just don't know a lot about that, and that's what that whole game is about. So it's cool. Just like I feel like I learned something playing that game, which is not common. Yeah.
Get ready for educational games top five next year.
Yeah, exactly.
My number three. I talked about DLCs at the top. Mm-hmm. The Xenoblade Chronicles 3 DLC. It is the culmination of hundreds of hours of incredible storytelling, of incredible characters. It brings together just so many cool threads.
Oh, wait, the DLC is your number three? Like that DLC is your number? Oh, cool. That's fun. I didn't know
that. Yeah. DLC is number three. Xenoblade Chronicles, just to clarify, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Game of the Year 2022. Number three Game of the Year. It didn't quite top number one, but... It's a perfect capstone to what Xenoblade Chronicles was. Mm-hmm. I don't want to even talk too much about specifics, but you get, you know, characters from all the games. The characters introduced in it are very cool. And just the way that it kind of pulls all of these threads together into this very meaningful conclusion that just... there's a couple scenes in that game that just always stick out in my mind. Like, I probably talked about it in the review, but like... when Rex shows up in that, who's kind of this like goofy dorky guy in Xenoblade 2, and he's like this grizzled veteran. It's just, there's so many cool things that happen in that game that I just loved. It's a good full-size chunk. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's a good like 20-25 hours. It's just, it's fantastic. It is everything that an ending to a series should be, especially like in what feels almost like an anthology series, where it's like, okay, these games are loosely connected. Mm-hmm. Three kind of really pulls them and goes like, no, they're connected. And then this goes like, no, they're like, it's all one. We've been telling one story the whole time.
It's so funny because I feel like when Final Fantasy ever tries to do that, it just never works out quite well. Like, let's bring all the characters in for like a weird fighting game. I mean, Theater Rhythm is really good.
But well, yeah,
really
it's count. A weird fighting. It's like a weird fighting game or World of Final Fantasy or whatever weird thing. It's like, no. We just made a new Xenoblade, and it just happens to be this DLC that's the conclusion of everything. But again, I think to really get the emotional weight of it, you need to play 1, 2, 3, the DLC for 1, the DLC for 2. You gotta invest a good couple hundred hours for this to really have meaning for you, I think.
Yeah. I always like that when there's like something that's just so impenetrable for like outside the fan base, but if you're in the fan base, like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. I feel that way about Kingdom Hearts 3.
Final Fantasy 14 is why I will never get into that game, because it's like, I'm sure this is incredible, but I do not have 400 hours to catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not have a month of my time to catch up to this. Number two.
Well, to perfectly segue into a game that's really great if you pay for the payoff of playing tons and tons of games, Alan Wake 2. Alan Wake 2 is... That game is so cool. That game is just... It's so cool. I feel so cool even liking that game. I know it sounds lame, but it's just like...
It feels like the cool guy game.
It feels like... the cool, like
hipster, like, yeah. Like,
yeah, exactly. It feels
you,
like...
You have your, like, Spider-Mans. I'll take my Alan Wake, too.
It feels like it, like, in... Like, okay. If you're in college, there's going to be a point where you get into movies. Maybe. So. I was one of those guys who got into movies. And I'm like, oh, you haven't seen this movie? We got to sit down and watch this movie right now. I feel that way about Alan Wake.
You did that to me probably five times in college, at least.
And you saw some good movies. You know, it was really funny. You guys all gave me shit for Old Boy. And then years later, like, Old Boy, it's a great movie. It's like, yeah, I know.
Other people that we know did. I still, Old Boy's fine.
Yeah. But no, anyway, I feel that way about, like, it just feels like I don't know, it just feels like a cool secret. And not even the fact, like, it didn't sell well. There's just something, it feels like you're in a cool club of having played all the Max Payne games and having played all the Control and having played Alan Wake, it just feels like it just feels like a feel like a fun referential thing, but it's really good on top of all that stuff. Just a really neat game. It has the heart of like a weird indie game beating through a AAA game, and I feel like Kojima kind of did that with Death Stranding. But this feels more like Kojima's vision, and this feels more like Remedy's vision, if that makes sense. It feels like this thing was like cobbled together by like a bunch of different voices, as opposed, I know Sam like kind of gets pushed to the front as like he's the guy who's making this game, but it's, if you play that game, it is so eclectic. It's like there's no way that this was just one guy, and you can just feel like everybody's got their, like a bunch of people had their fingerprints, almost like clay animation is kind of cool because you can see the fingerprints on it. You can feel that Alan Wake 2, and I think I said in my review, it's like one of the scariest games I ever played. It's one of the funniest games I ever played. I had a stupid smile on my face for long portions of that game. And I know like during the Game Awards, they had that like one sequence that was really cool. And I was like, that to me was not even my favorite part of the game. Like by far, that was not my favorite part of the game. That is just a part of a really neat package that has a lot of cool stuff. I just hope they get to make more games, more Alan Wake and that sort of thing. And if they don't, like, this is just such a great one-off sort of cool thing. It's so neat. That's the one game I wish you had played this year, actually.
It's like the one game, like that one and Super Mario Wonder are the two. Sure. I feel like those are the two that probably could have cracked my top five that I didn't play.
Yeah,
and maybe Baldur's Gate 3, but I don't think I'll ever get around to actually finishing that. But those are the two where it's like Mario Wonder, I love Mario games, and Alan Wake 2, I feel like it's just such a, I love Alan Wake 1. It's just, I think it came out the same day. It wasn't like the same day as Mario RPG. It was something stupid like that. It came out the same day as like three other games.
It came out in October, which was Wonder, and there was like the new Forza game. There's like four or five games that came out all the same period. Yeah.
I don't even remember what I played instead of it, but. And it was digital only, which
there's a lot of stuff going against that game, which sucks. Of just even getting in all that stuff. It's just, I don't know.
If it's that good, it needs to be out there for everybody in the easiest accessible way, especially for somebody like Remedy who deserves as many chances at this as they can get. And if they finally nailed it, like, let's not gatekeep that behind physical or digital only or this, da, 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 just it needs to be out there.
Yeah, exactly.
My number two, we've talked about it a couple times already. And honestly, my number two and number one have bounced back and forth. This one gets number two because of the remake factor, because I already knew that it was one of my all-time favorite games. Super Mario RPG
is one of
my all-time favorite games. It's a game that I played as a kid, and like prior to that, I had never played a JRPG really before, and it was kind of my introduction to it of, oh, games can be like this. Games can have a fun, goofy story that's not just go rescue the princess, go kill the guy. It's like, no, there can be this different thing happening with games. And it was kind of my introduction to that. So I knew going in, like, I loved this game as a child. I played it a couple other times. Like, this was one of my games, my top five games ever made. And it just reconfirmed it in every possible way. The way that they just updated everything. The music is incredible. The just tone of it is great. Everything looks perfect. The little gameplay tweaks played with it enough to make it fun but not to ruin anything. It's just, I love it so much. It's incredible. It's one of the greatest games ever made.
I see it now. I'm on board. I'm not on board with Geno fans, but I am on board with Mario RPG fans.
I think that's just one of those things that, like, as a kid you're like, well, it's Mario, it's just Peach, Mallow, whatever. But Geno's got like these like gun hands. I think that was like the like kid in me. I think prior to playing this, Geno was always like, oh, Geno's so cool. Like, why don't they do anything with Geno? It's like, Geno has no personality.
Yeah.
Geno is just here. Geno looks cool and is here. Bowser was the one that always got me as a kid. Like, I get to play as Bowser. Like, oh my gosh. Like, Bowser is in my party. Just, it's, the game is so cool. I could talk about it forever.
It's a cool game.
But let's get to the top. Number one, best game. I think I know yours. You probably know mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just get it out there.
least surprise. Armored Core 6 fucking rules. Dude, that game rules. It's not for every. I always hate with like getting from software guys. It's not for everybody. I just like it a lot. It's really hard.
Here's my caveats. Yeah. You don't like it. I don't want to recommend it to you. Yeah. Don't buy it.
No, that game's cool because, again, this is like sort of kind of with Hi-Fi Rush. Like, it just feels like awesome PS2 game that kind of came out of nowhere. We talked about it. We talked about the review. We talked about Ace Combat 7. That's like another one of those like really cool PS2 era type structure of a game. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool playing that sort of PS2 structure with controls that were really good. I really loved the combat was really good because it reminded me of Zone of Enders. I mean, it's like all this cool PS2 stuff. And I really, really loved, because the one thing that always scared me about the game was getting into the editing your mech and that sort of thing. I was like, yeah. Oh, God, that sounds like a nightmare. But really it just turns out to be like a really cool RPG system, where you're basically just building out a toolkit. And I think this sounds so stupid and sounds so stupid. I would have loved to have seen that game get like in the RPG category in Final Fantasy 16, get in the action category. And I like both those games.
But like a petty little thing of, well, let's switch them.
It's because I think Armored Core 6 is a really awesome action RPG, but I don't know why people don't put it in that category, because like most of your time is spent doing cool JRPG tweaky stuff, and I just mm-hmm. that was the thing that always scared me off from that game, and it's like actually this stuff is still like super, super fun. And I beat so that game is like, I think 18 hours. I think I put 50 hours into it. I think when I finally calculated, like including mission restarts and stuff, I replayed that game maybe 4 or 5 times in total. Yeah.
I feel like there was just a month straight where you're like, oh no, I'm just playing Armored Core. I'm playing Armored Core again. Yeah. Hey, what game are we reviewing? What game do you have to review? I don't know. I just played Armored Core 3 more times.
It was funny because I was actually checking my thing. It's funny. Final Fantasy 16 for some reason eked it out, but it's like Final Fantasy 16, Armored Core 6. But yeah, I mean, I love that game. I don't 100% games anymore, cause I just like don't have the time. And I just also like, I like playing a lot of different things. That's like the way I like to play games. As opposed to like getting really intense into one, but like freaking 100% that I went through that game just backwards and forwards in like a way I haven't done in a long time. Easily one of my favorite games ever. And I will shut up now because I don't think you should play it. I don't think you should.
Like it. It's in my like someday 1999 category bucket. Exactly. For me. Like, when I see that 1999, I'll give it its. Yeah. It's honest try, as I do with every From Software game, and play 2 hours and go, that's not for me, just like Doug said.
I feel like people should try Elden Ring. I don't know if people should try Armored Core 6.
My number one game, Final Fantasy 16.
Sure.
I love this game. I think you talked about it with Seasons, where it's like games that you think about over and over again. Mm-hmm. And this game just has been on my mind since the beginning of the year. At all times, like the game, the year started out with that demo that just was insane, and I remember I think we did a review of it, and I had theory after theory after theory of what is this going to be, and is it this good, and oh my gosh, the way that it starts out, and just starting from that point with Clive and Joshua, where they start out, and just having that thought for so long, and then I played the game, and it's just like, oh my gosh, there are scenes that like are just stuck in my mind constantly from that game. And it pulls from so many different Final Fantasy places. It upends things. It's just, Final Fantasy is one of my favorite series of all time, if not my favorite series of all time. And I think just, it is such a cool way to change Final Fantasy, to bring in that action combat, to make it more accessible is the wrong word, but more inviting to other people. Cause I think if you put out, you put out a turn-based game right now, it's not gonna have the reach. And I think just the action combat, but the way that that still kind of honors what's been happening with Final Fantasy before is great. The combat system itself is arguably one of my favorite action game systems, just because it makes you feel more powerful as you go. It's one of the few games that I think you can just really feel from hour 5 to hour 35 how much you've changed in that game. And yeah, it's just, again, that's one I could talk about forever. Again, just like the scene in the ocean, which if you've played it before, like that scene just is constantly in my brain.
That scene is so fucking cool.
Anytime I see like a boat in an ocean now, it's just like, oh, but Final Fantasy 16. Oh yeah, I should go watch that. Like every time I just see a boat in the water, it's like that's what comes to my mind now.
Yeah.
Just the icon fights are just some of the greatest set pieces that have ever been put in a game.
Oh, easily.
It's just, I mean, it checks every box. Combat. I mean, the story is, it's fine. It has its moments, but the characters are great. Just Clive, just seeing Clive's evolution is so cool. And just focusing on him solely is very cool. I just, every part of that game I loved. every single part. In our review of it, I said it's probably my third favorite Final Fantasy game, and I would say Final Fantasy X is probably my favorite game of all time, and Final Fantasy IX is one of my top 10 games of all time. So third best Final Fantasy game puts it up there with the top 10. Well, probably not in the top 10, but with games that are in my top 10 of all time. It is insane. It is incredible. I love it. It's a game that I've constantly wanted to go back and replay. You said the DLC cemented in your mind that maybe it's not for me. It cemented in my mind, like, no, this is my favorite game this year. This is the game that I feel like defined 2023 for me.
Final
Fantasy 16.
Those moments of those game are untouchable. Absolutely untouchable. That game is really cool. Yeah.
But it's not in my top 5. It's just a really good game.
We talked about this all the time. If that game was 15 hours long, it'd be the best game ever made.
Probably true. Lots of great games.
Mm.
2023.
Well done. Probably the best year. It was funny. I actually went back to our older game of the year. So I went through, like, I think we have 2017, 2019, 2020, 2021. Anyway, I went through them and I was reading out the list. I was like, man, this beats out a lot of these games.
There are games, I think, in a couple of those years. So I went back and just looked. So I was like, oh, yeah, I did. When I was doing my DLC, I was like, oh, yeah, because I think that was. And I was like, there were a couple of years where it was just like, none of these would have been in my top 5 this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There were 1 or 2 years where I was just like, oh, I liked that game, but it wouldn't have. Maybe it bumped Spider-Man 2, but it's probably not my top 5. My top 3 from that year wouldn't even crack my top 5 this year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even be close, so... I don't even think they'd get past my list of games that I also enjoyed. So
that's funny.
it's crazy year. But more game of the year 1 year from now.
Yeah.
We are Workforce Gaming. We put new videos up every Monday. Subscribe to our channel. Leave a comment below. We'll see you later.
Bye.